Go for it.
I have your mind. Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Pura vida.
Pura vida.
You're very welcome.
We are the upcoming generation. We are the ones who are going to save the planet and who are going to make change start now. Start teaching each other and supporting each other and just continue along the road of saving our planet because that is the only option.
This is Peggy Mercur. Pura vida.
Pura vida.
Pura vida. Pura vida.
Yeah, pura vida.
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 Pura vida. Pura vida.
Pura vida.
Good morning, Danielle.
Hi, good morning. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm fine. Thanks. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Monday morning. Busy. So right now we are in the Astillero Verde shipyard, which means green shipyard in Spanish. We are located in Punta Morales on the Pacific coast of Costa Rica. This property is about 3 acres or 1.5 hectares.
What is the project about? I mean, the Saba. It is a huge ship which is constructed and built by a lot of dreams.
Yeah, so you can hear all around different power tools. This is a working shipyard, and we are currently building what will be the world's largest emission-free cargo ship, Saba.
How did this idea grow in the mangroves?
Actually, we were here looking at Costa Rica. Our team was primarily from Canada originally, and we wanted to go somewhere other than freezing Canada or freezing northern Germany where we were working. So we wanted to look in the tropics. We did consider Suriname and some other Caribbean islands, and then decided, okay, let's take a look at Costa Rica, because Lynx was already working here, carving figureheads for ships like Morgenstern and Europa and Tres Hombres. And when we came here, we realized it's a very environmental country and very peaceful, and so it was perfect for us. Lynx was originally located in Monteverde, the cloud forest, where he was carving those figureheads, and this is the closest beach to Monteverde.
I heard already it needed to be less than 100 meters to the water.
Yes, we wanted to have the ship as close as possible to the water's edge, so that the launch would be facilitated and a bit more simple. And this property is especially interesting because you are able legally to build closer to the water's edge. It's a special property with special laws that are a bit older. It's called, it's been grandfathered in. And normally in Costa Rica, you're not allowed to build so close to the water's edge for environmental protection reasons.
That's quite a proud thing to start a project like that. How does it come that you had this courage to start this?
I mean, it was really based on just the fact we really believed we could do it. And so this vessel, Saba, is the largest wooden ship we thought we could build ourselves so that we did not have to go to an industrial shipyard. And so we tried to keep it, despite being really quite large, to a manageable size. So the timbers are sizes that people can still lift. Now we do have a tractor, thank goodness, but it was a manageable size. So Saba at 150 feet overall, 45 meters, it's more or less on the larger side that a traditional wooden vessel can really be at.
It is finished next year, December or something. What can we expect?
Yeah, we definitely hope to be launching this vessel next year.
What is the philosophy about it?
Well, Saba is interesting. We want to always have a very holistic and detailed approach to all of the materials and intention put into the vessel. And so, I mean, really looking at quite concrete things like the lifespan of a tree and how long do we hope the ship will survive. So many of the trees are around 50 to 70 years old, and the vessel should hopefully easily work for 100 years. And as it is a for-profit company that puts financing into tree planting every single year, this means it is a regenerative process. So we're putting more trees back in the ground, significantly more than will ever be needed to even replace this vessel or all the maintenance she'll ever need.
That's so amazing. I talked to some workers already, so wow, really good work, a really good mood, a really good company. Do you have, if you compare it from the beginning, do you have the same mood?
I have the same drive and I have the same belief that this will be successful. She is already successful. Saba is full on all northbound voyages for cargo. And I believe in the same way that I did on day one, that we will see this vessel sailing successfully. I've learned a lot about business though, and this project I think is bigger, the outside parts or the external parts are a lot bigger than I originally anticipated. So I mean the effect on the community, the infrastructure we've built at the shipyard, just the development outside of that. We founded a nonprofit, which is an affiliate 501c3. And so we have all these other parts that spin off, and I didn't anticipate that, but it's really beautiful.
And what is your personal dream in your life?
I'm not sure about that, but I hope to contribute good to people and to the environment.
So you have 15 years of sailing experience already.
I think it's almost 17 now. I started sailing on tall ships in the Great Lakes in Canada on the St. Lawrence 2 when I was 13 years old. That was an 8 days trip. And after I got off the 8 days, they offered me to come back as a volunteer. So I worked every summer and every weekend and every holiday since I was 13, and even taking time off school. So I was, basically committed to the sea ever since then.
Do you have a special philosophy for yourself which keeps you going or what you believe in?
I don't know. I'm just really driven in this one direction of... I suppose I saw how being on ships and on the water helped me personally. You know, maybe as a teenager who was, going through normal teenager struggles. I remember when I got on the water, all those struggles kind of went away. And so I really believe that other people can benefit from that. And I've seen that working on racing ships and passenger vessels and youth sail training and adult sail training and deliveries. Like, I've done all that stuff, working in movies, cargo, of course. People benefit from it. So, and if we can do it in an environmentally conscious way, we can help the environment benefit from it as well.
With how many people did the project start when you were based on 2016 over here?
Well, in the very early days, like even before we came to Costa Rica, I think it was a group of maybe six of our friends that had all worked in shipyards together before. And yeah, some of us came down here. And when we said we do think Costa Rica is the right place, it kind of came to a head and people had to say, am I willing to relocate myself and dedicate the next 5 to 10 years or am I not? And it was basically Lynx and I said, yes, we are. And very, very soon after, I think it was before we registered the company, so he is an original founder, was John Porras, who's Costa Rican, and he also said, I'm on board.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. So what are you personally proud of?
I'm cautious of the word pride, because pride is a sin, but pride can also be an important positive tool. So here we are located in one of the most poor, financially poor districts in all of Costa Rica. Depending what you read, 70 to 90% of our neighbors live under the poverty line. And so I'm really proud, to use that word, to bring in foreign investment, millions of dollars of foreign investment, and put a significant part of that into their hands through wages and through renting homes and buying food and buying lumber. And we're also able to give them a sense of pride because their community is getting a lot of attention and bringing some really nice things to it, including, of course, work training, free courses, boat building courses, that sort of thing. And so that was another aspect I did not anticipate. I didn't know how much good we could bring to a community, but that's, something that makes me feel really good at the end of the day.
So the shipbuilding progress, it should have been finished this year, but there were different things which made it not possible to finish this year?
Yes and no. I think a lot of people right now are saying we're really behind schedule, and that's not entirely true. So in all of our original projections, we said it would take about 3.5 years to build Ceiba, and just now on January 8th, we celebrated 3 years. So technically, we still have 6 months before we're supposed to launch the vessel. We did alter the date. So we invested a lot more energy in the shipyard than we ever thought we would. I mean, I'm sure you'll be describing some of the buildings around us. They're pretty significant. So we invested more time in the shipyard than we thought we would, but the ship itself is not technically taking longer yet. So we still have 6 months. I don't think we will be a bit behind schedule, but considering we also had a global pandemic.
Yes.
I'm honestly pretty pleased with our progress, and we have not extended the 3.5 years yet.
The next one is already prepared, the Pitaya.
Yeah. Yeah, and also I'm really proud of our 3.5 year timeline because it's quite aggressive. Many other projects, if you look around the world, they could easily be budgeting 10 years for this project. So we said we want to do it as quickly as possible, and we started with a field. This was a field, and Lynx and I were clearing the field with a machete by hand, like just to imagine that. So we've built every single thing up. And yes, we've invested a bit more in the shipyard, which you could say put us behind schedule, but in the overall scheme of things, now we're in a position to build a second ship, and that was never part of the original plan. So we've really invested in continuing all of this dream and making it grow, and it indeed strengthening Saba's position, because if she has a sister ship, it just makes the whole business plan a lot stronger.
Wow. Can you tell us something about the Pitaya?
Yeah, Pitaya is really exciting. She is Saba's little sister, but she's not smaller at all. And it's basically the exact same design. However, there will be no between decks. So right now Saba has a floor in the middle of the cargo hold that separates it to reduce weight on the cargo. This was because we did not know specifically what cargo we would be taking. Now that we know the primary cargo will be coffee beans, we know that we can take that tween decks out, which just basically allows for a bit more space and a bit more volume to be carried. And Pitaya means dragon fruit. So her color is this super vibrant fuchsia, or almost like a bright pink or purple. The boat will not be painted bright purple, but she'll maybe like a stripe or something. But yeah, Pitaya, we've already set aside a bunch of the framing stock. And so we hope to begin framing this year.
Wow, so a lot of work to keep on going, and a lot of people are working here, around 50 people, is that right?
Yeah, so we can have up to 50 people. Right now I think it's a bit quiet, it kind of goes up and down, but we always aim to have approximately 50% people from our area, so I'll say Latin America, as there are a lot of people from Nicaragua as well where we are. And it was an interesting decision to declare Pitaya, because as we got closer to the end of Saba, you could almost feel people from the community kind of sensing, is this over? Like, are they going to leave? Are all those jobs going to disappear? And, you know, people who work here, they say, is my job going to disappear? When we declared the second vessel, it was saying, no, your job is not going to disappear. We're here in this community, and we're going to continue doing our best to provide work and learning experiences.
Do you want to add something personal for people who are dreamers out there? Maybe you want to change the world, because you are changing the world with this project, and a lot of people will listen to that.
I would just advise people to not assume that they're not knowledgeable enough, or not assume that they're not good enough to start a project. Since I've started this project, I've met so many people that think, I could never do that. I could never do that. And really all it takes is dedication and determination and a willingness to learn from others. But if you want to start something and you think you're willing to learn from others, then go for it.
Thank you so much, Danielle.
You're welcome. Thank you for the interview.
Pura vida.
Pura vida.
Wow, that's amazing. I'm now at Link's place. Let's see what this day will be about. It's around 30 degrees. We are in his wooden house.
This is a plantation lumber that was donated to us. The building was set up as an educational building program. Where our local in-house carpenters were trained in this type of simple construction. Very artistic, of course, like you see, and efficient. The whole building took 9 weeks to make.
Only 9 weeks, wow, yeah. That's amazing. I see a lot of wonderful wood.
Yeah, downstairs is the educational center where we give our courses, small boat building courses to the community. We give tool making classes, or we have in the past.
Whom are teaching you?
No, I was the head instructor for the course. And I've been training our construction team. So the building you saw outside, that's a bit more a refined construction. It's a better design, or it's more elaborate. The same people who built this building are building that building now, several years later. So they're learning new techniques every time.
The building in the entrance part.
Yep.
So we are looking now over the mangroves. We are sitting on a balcony. I got some wonderful tea. And we're sitting in wooden chairs, and there's a nice fresh breeze. And it is lunchtime, and the people were working since 6:30 in the morning, and they're working till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. They're having breaks, they're having enough and wonderful local food. Half of the employees are local ones and got a job opportunity. But how did it all started in your mind, in your idea? What was the main reason which made you start this project?
Okay, well, yeah, can't really tell you exactly when it started. It's a long story. But I guess you can say that when I was working in Holland with Fair Transport, working on the Tres Hombres rebuild, when we were getting that project going, we'd always talked about building a ship from scratch in the tropics. But that was just a topic of conversation, and it took several years before it actually was considered a reality, that it could actually be something that could be done. But yeah, the idea stuck, and yeah, here we are, 15 years later.
It is Lynx Guillemont. Do I say that right?
No, Guillemont. Guillemont is my last name, yeah. Born French-Canadian, from Quebec. Yeah, I've been a carpenter my whole life, project manager and self-employed, mostly.
What were your dreams when you were a child, a little one? Did you ever imagine that you were doing stuff like this?
I guess not, but it's fun that I'm here. I'm happy, yeah. I always wanted to travel when I was a kid. I grew up on a farm and we were pretty landlocked. And as soon as I was old enough to leave, I left. I went traveling, and I still consider myself a traveler, even though I've been here for several years.
So it started here 2016.
Yeah, it's a small group. All in all, we're three founders who got the project going and started with volunteers and friends helping us. A lot of support from our community, of course, since the very beginning. So it's kind of hard to say, put a number on people, you know, or people who help us, or, you know, associates from other projects, close friends, even just people showing up in the community who want to help, people who want to see a difference. You know, make a change, I guess. I'm in charge of construction from the technical aspect. I'm the technical director. It's my business to control the quality, as I'm the professional who's responsible for the construction. I'm the one who signs off. So I like to get into the details with everybody who works, but at the same time, I also trust the people and the specialists who work around us.
So did you also create the construction papers for the Sabre?
The plans? No, I did not. We have a naval architect, Amanta Marine Design, who made the plans for us.
How did you grow this professionality, and how is this typical working day for you?
Well, I grew up on a farm doing construction with my father during the summer times, and I learned a lot there. And from a background of a lumberjacks, I used chainsaws since a young age, cut firewood every winter. And yeah, like I said, did a lot of construction with my father. When I finished high school, I got my license as a professional joiner, a cabinet maker, woodworker. And then I traveled. I traveled for many years, and I worked in many different aspects, from house renovations to I worked in several factories, furniture factories, large construction companies, small construction companies. I worked as a freelance carpenter as well, traveling through Europe for several years. I worked in naval construction, worked as a sailor, ship's carpenter. And all that together kind of just makes me a carpenter, I guess you can say, with a wide background.
Can you tell me the story about your free meeting?
Yeah, I forget what year that was, 2009 perhaps. So I met Danny at Sien. I met John here in the Cloud Forest when I was living up in those mountains we see over there, where I was working as a figurehead carver during those years. And John is a friend of mine, and we did some work together. He's a professional rigger, and he does a lot. He has a large background as well. And then when we had started to talk about the idea of building a ship here in Costa Rica, John was the first that I approached.
I'm a co-founder. I am a Costa Rican guy. My specialty is in biological and conservation and climate change, my specialty. Growing with companies that work in sustainability projects and green business models. I began here in 2014 with Danny and Lynx. My interest is about the transportation, marine transportation. My interest is that the big problem here is not in the air, it's in the sea. I am corporate director here, but my function here is see all the cases in the environmental and the problems of the world. I'm rigging professional too for structures. So I make works with ropes, with rigging, in building construction too, in adventure parks in Monteverde. So for this forum, I know to Links and I know to Danny. My function here is models with the commercial, the legality, the environmental, the permits from the government too, according with the laws from Costa Rica and according from the institutions from Costa Rica too. In Costa Rica, ship buildings is not exist. It's the first time here because the people building little ships, fishermen, for example, but never a ship like this, a cargo ship, never, because we don't have laws, we don't have a strong marine sector, we don't have this kind of sector here.
Yeah.
So we learn in this process with the project, but the government learned too with us what is the process for make this kind of building here.
Nice.
My goal in the future always is the environmental, finish to the oil problems in the world, and change this kind of problems that we have right now. Yeah, my motivation for, I believe, and I could change the world in this form. It's important for me. For me, I think so. I'm growing in the earth, I'm growing with the rest of the plants, and I think so. I have an obligation and a responsibility.
Thank you so much for your time. Pura vida!
Pura vida, mae. Thank you. Sorry for my English.
Links, are there some more people who are always coming back?
Yeah, we have. I mean, everybody has their own story and their own life. Some people stick around for several years. Some people have are seasonal workers and they come and they go. And some people have, you know, come back once, came back twice, came back four times. Some people don't come back. Some people are still here. Everybody's got their own story, I guess.
If you think about your personal wish for the world, is it more about creating a ship which is made out of wood, or is there something more behind that?
No, absolutely more. It's creating a regenerative system that's focused on shipbuilding and cargo sailing, right? So we're sailors and we're shipbuilders and boat builders, but we also just trying to do what we love to do, what we want to do in life, but do it with responsibly within a circular economy, within a regenerative system that we're kind of building up from scratch, right? But also bringing in other organizations that have like-minded principles, so organic farms. You know, so not just shipbuilding, but we also focus a lot about food, for example. Our food that we eat is very important, where it comes from. We try and lower the impact of the global shipping by sourcing locally. And that's kind of what we're doing here. And that's why we're building with local wood. That's why we eat local food. We get our working boots made here by a local shoemaker with local leather instead of buying international products, if we can, right? We're just starting, you know, and maybe you only get 5 or 10%, but we try and get more and more, right? To try and become more and more sustainable, more and more regenerative in the practices that we do, and kind of setting an example for the next generations and for the world. we hope to inspire.
What do you do after work?
Well, a lot of resting. No, I work on the lathe for the past couple of years. So I got wood turning lathe that I like to do. I also work on my car, on my Samurai. I like to do that a lot. I also go spend a lot of time in the mountains with my friends on the farm.
When you think about the food, what is your favorite food from Costa Rica?
Rice and beans, pinto. Yeah, the daily diet. It's my favorite. Yeah.
How do you get tools and stuff?
Yeah, so first we always try to source locally. The steel, for example, there is a steel industry here. It's not a giant steel industry if you compare it to a bigger nations, of course, but we can get the basic steel here for the fasteners, and we're able to get I-beams, a generic steel supplies, yeah, we can get here in the country. That does come from abroad, though, but it's still through a national third party. Of course, equipment, specialized equipment needs to be imported, and importing is very difficult, and it is one of the bigger challenges we face here, is importing specialized materials and specialized tools, absolutely.
What was challenging during the whole project for you? Can you tell us some points?
Yeah, I mean, managing my personal energy was kind of difficult. Like, it's hard to kind of stop and to slow down when things need to be going fast. It's trying to balance within my personal life, but also there's a lot of challenges. The rain, the sun, the heat is challenging, but at the same time, these are just natural factors. Actually, it's been going pretty good. All in all, we're pretty lucky, I think. Yeah.
Were there any problems with animals or something? Because there's the tree with the howler monkeys, and I know there are scorpions around. Is there any struggle by that, or does this work?
Yeah, people get bit by scorpions every now and again, but they're not lethal. There's bees and wasps that sting, but again, not lethal. There's crocodiles here in the estuary, but if you respect them, they won't hurt you. There's a lot of stray dogs that are kind of hard to deal with sometimes. No, I don't think we have. There is a lot of poisonous snakes to look out for, but no one's been bit so far by a snake, so we're okay.
If you wish for something, what would that be?
I don't know, that it becomes of a success that we all dream it to be, that it helps, that it directs the global shipping industry to a more sustainable fashion, right? To eventually a regenerative system, which is what the world needs now, is regenerative systems, not streamline economy, but circular economies, right? That give back and not just take resources from the planet and the society, which has to pay for that as well.
What do you think? Do you know something about the bigger companies? Did you have already an impression how you get dealt on the market and how they respect you?
Yeah, I don't know. We don't have much a connection with them. From the scale we do is a different scale. It's kind of a different commerce, I guess you can say, than the bigger ships. We wouldn't ship 1% of what a giant ship could ship, right? However, there is bigger plans in the works for a sailing container ship that we're talking about building. That's already been announced at COP26. So we are scaling up, starting another division in the commercial shipping industry. Jeez, many people laugh at us, eh? Just like anything. Shouldn't be a reason for discouragement, though.
What are you proud of right now? When you think back or in this moment, what you've done so far?
Oh, I don't know. It's nice to be sitting here and looking at the scenery, I guess, and the birds, and being relaxed. and feeling that you're making a difference. At least I can admit that I've tried my best up till now, you know, and I hope to be able to keep doing that. And that's kind of satisfying, I guess. That's satisfying in itself.
Do you have a personal motivation sentence or some philosophy for yourself and for the company?
Follow your heart, do your best, and you'll never fail, even if you fail.
The Pitaya is the next sailing vessel. Mm-hmm. Do you plan it to be bigger, or will this be the base?
No, we will build a ship very similar to Ceiba once Ceiba's in the water. We already started cutting framing material. We already have about one quarter of the framing material we need here on site drying. Yeah, the idea is that we start building the frames beginning of next year, probably, before Seiba is launched, so that when Seiba is launched, the frames are already built, and then we just assemble after that. So it should be a lot shorter turnaround period for the next ship. And we're also rebuilding the shipyard infrastructure to be more industrialized, artistic industrial. So we have a lot of wood here on site already for Pitaya. Yeah.
Do you know when the ship goes into the water, where it will be and how it's going to be managed?
Well, the idea is probably going to ship on the East Coast, shipping coffee between Colombia and the United States, and sail cargo. We will take care of the logistics for managing this ship. Yeah.
And how do you get the Seiba into the water?
No, we build a rail system. We have some engineers now who are working on the surveying the land, the composition of the earth, and then we'll be able to make an exact decision on the type of launch, a scenario that's best suited for the conditions of the ground in the estuary here. There's a lot of mud flat, as you can see, so it's not going to be so simple.
Yeah, and where will be the marina, your home-based marina?
Well, probably the home port will be Punta Arenas, which is the closest port to us right now.
Today you will finish at 4, is that right? Or do you keep going after 4?
Well, me, I'm kind of on my own schedule. I'm not an employee and I'm not on the payroll. So I'm more, as usual, freelance in what I do. So yeah, at 4 o'clock the machines stop. And that's actually a time for me when I can focus a bit more on office work, for example, or on the designs. But yeah, just see how I feel today.
Nice. Do you have something to add to transport to the world out there, to the people who are listening right now? Maybe also to the kids?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, if you can follow your heart, only you know what your dreams, your biggest dream, and if you can fathom, if you can consider that dream to be a reality, and then you kind of owe it to yourself and to the rest of the world to at least try to achieve that dream. At least try, you know, even if it's risky or you might fail, that shouldn't stop you from trying. I think a lot of people, that's where they get stuck sometimes. They just never try.
So keep on trying. Thank you so much, Links.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
Pura vida.
Pura vida.
It is a 45-meter long sailing vessel. This means sustainability. This means carbon footprint for our earth, for our products. Sailing, adventures, dreamers, sustainability, woodwork in the mangroves. Spread out the good news, the good ideas, the knowledge we have on this world, how to change, how to live sustainable. The strength in peace like a real human, with happiness and responsibility for all living creatures on our earth.